Good morning, Katie. It's Al Petrosian from TSO.
Al, I'm thrilled to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good, Dawn. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing great. Thank you. And where are you right now?
I'm sitting in front of a hotel in New Orleans waiting to check in.
There you go. Is there a show tonight or tomorrow?
Tonight we got a show. We just rolled out of Austin, Texas last night. Had a great show. Tonight we have New Orleans, and we're kind of working our way around the South for a while. I cannot wait to get by you guys.
We always love it when TSO's in Atlanta, and the date is Wednesday next Wednesday, actually, December 16th at the Infinite Energy Center. Get used to saying that because it used to be the Gwinnett Arena.
I know. When did that change?
It changed about a month ago.
So unbelievable.
We're having to get used to saying it. But when you're talking about doing a show from night to night, it's making me think, do you have like two different sets or how do you do that?
We just happen to have the greatest road crew on the planet. I mean, like I said, last night we were in Austin. We drove about 500 and something miles. The crew's over at the arena right now. You know, we kind of just rolled it town. We'll do a show tonight and then pack it up, and I think it's 550 miles to drive to Jackson. I mean, these guys are absolutely tireless. They're the best at what they do, and I could never do my job without any of them. They're
isn't
incredible.
That's nice to hear you give them some props, isn't it? Yeah.
All the time. Really, really. The show is so over the top. There's so much going on. I'm always amazed at how we can get, you know, never mind one show a day, but sometimes two shows a day we'll do.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. When you do these tours at Christmas time, how long do they last? How many dates do you do?
We got started, I think, rehearsal started mid-October, and our first show was, I think, second week in November, and this will take me right up until about New Year's.
And over one, or around 1 million people that you performed before in front of last year.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy that it's growing in leaps and bounds because you have so many fans. And I've got to tell you, I'm embarrassed to say this. I haven't seen you yet, but I am definitely going. I'm actually going to pick up a check from you guys, I think, next Wednesday night.
Oh, good. Well, it'd be nice to spend some time with you. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It sure will be. I have one friend that goes every year, and she goes several different places to see you, and she loved you since Sabotage, so she's like a huge, huge fan. And yeah, so she's been telling me forever, and I thought, I've got to see this. I had some other friends dying to go, and I went, let's do it. For somebody who hasn't seen, and I've seen a lot of video, I've seen you on PBS, your PBS mm-hmm. special. How would you describe what they're in for if they haven't seen you before?
I guess the easiest way is that, you know, TSO is all styles of music rolled into one. So if you're a fan of classical music, if you're a fan of hard rock or heavy metal, if you're a fan of R&B, if you're a fan of, you know, Broadway, you know, because there's the huge theatrical side to what the show is. You know, it's a story that my boss, Paul Neal, has written in a very Frank Capra-esque manner. It's just all the good and all different styles of music kind of rolled into one and telling this beautiful tale of loss and redemption. It's 2.5 hours of the most spectacular production that's on God's earth right now. I mean, the pyro, the lasers, the moving trusses, the 3D imagery. The film that we shot back in 1998, The Ghost of Christmas Eve, is being brought back to life, where the band has now become part of the film. Well, the film has become part of the band, depending on which way you want to look at it, you know?
That's cool.
What I could tell you, darling, is that up until recently, I've said, you know, our audience is the most diverse audience in the world. Whereas, well, I'll be standing on stage looking down and I'll see, you know, some young kid maybe wearing a Slayer or a Megadeth t-shirt. And next to him will be like, you know, an older couple and they're, you know, their Sunday go to meet and clothes and everybody in between. Last month, we played in Des Moines, Iowa, and I looked down and I saw all the usual suspects in the audience. Then I realized, I found that we have really rocked because there was a section of Amish people.
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I swear to God. I kind of just looked and I giggled. You know, I was like, that's how you know when your music has reached places that you never thought they'd reach. And I've always compared to this band as one of my children. You know, I was there 20 years ago when this thing first opened up its eyes, you know?
Yes.
And it's just, you know, from infancy to, you know, being a toddler to, you know, adolescence to adulthood, whatever. You know, this child of mine, it's almost like graduated valedictorian from Harvard, has gone on to do things that I never even saw coming, you know?
It's got to be amazing. That's got to be an amazing feeling because you never knew when you started this that this would go on like this, did you? Not even.
Oh, no, no, no. This is just a bunch of buddies, you know, and some sitting at a kitchen table in New York City years ago just writing music and doing art for the sake of the art. It had nothing to do with commercial success because who would have ever bought this? You know, 1995, you know. You know, whatever was going on at radio, I know rap music was pretty prevalent. You know, the Seattle grunge thing was really happening. So, you know, long-haired, heavy metal, classical, neoclassical, prog rock. No. And here we are talking about 20 years later saying, well, you know, don't tell the bumblebee it can't fly.
Well, it's not just that. It's the sound of your voice when you're talking about it. You're so passionate about it. I'll do a million interviews over my career. I've done so many. And you'll hear some people, and it's just like, oh, boy, we're talking about this again, you know? And it's like, I always try to ask something maybe they haven't been asked before. But you just, you've got joy in your voice talking about this. That's pretty cool.
Well, it's one of, like I said, it's one of my kids. I'm so proud of it. And you know, if as a musician, you want to record a good record, you want to do a good tour, you know, and if you do a couple of those, then you've done it, you know, that's great. This is going on 20 years where not only are we touring and making, you know, great music and having great shows, but, you know, people in your community and communities around America have embraced this as part of their extended, albeit dysfunctional, extended family, you know. For the holidays, a lot of folks are like, no, dude, it's not Christmas until, you know, you guys come through town, or it's not Christmas until we start playing your records or your movie in the house. You know, my wife and the baby came down to Austin and spent a couple of days with me, and this is the first time that Olivia was really old enough. She's just 4 years old.
Oh.
It was the first time that she was old enough to really understand what was going on, and to watch her in the audience headbanging and singing along,
oh,
and just, like,
gosh,
you know, being part of it. And my three older children, you know, two of them in the are in the armed forces, and one of them is a musician. So they witnessed this as this thing was being born 20 years ago. So they've kind of grown up with it. And then to see, like, the next generation, you know, kind of just, like, latching onto it and falling in love with it, too. To me, it really never ends, and it'll never stop being brand new for me, because there's always somebody in the audience new, whether it's my immediate family or part of an extended family or part of your family. Like you said, this will be the first year that you're coming, and you're excited to see what all the talk is about.
Absolutely. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. And one of the things that you told you and I have talked about before, but I just want people to know that are listening to this, is that, you know, you guys donate $1 of every ticket to charity. And I believe every time it's a local charity. And to date, you've donated over $12 million to charity. That's incredible. Tell me about what got that started.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up, but I like to look at it as more as us helping the community just give back to itself a little bit, you know. We all grew up in New York City, you know, and especially around the holidays, there's a lot of people out on the streets who are just in a bad, bad way. And my boss, Paul O'Neill, was always the one reaching into his pocket, grabbing $1, or grabbing $5, grabbing $20, whatever it was, to just help somebody out, you know. Wow. And everywhere we look these days, there's something horrible going on. The least we could do is, like, try to help take care of our own and our own communities. And if we're going to come through town around the holidays every year, you know, you guys have kind of adopted us as part of your community. The least we can do. It's like I always say when I go to somebody's house, for, you know, for a special occasion, bring a good bottle of wine and don't put your feet on the furniture, you know. So all we really want to do is, like, tap everybody on the shoulder and say, you know, there's a lot of people a lot less fortunate than the rest of us. You know, let's help them out a little bit, you know.
It's such a lovely thing to do. It's really incredible. And that's a perfect example of how just $1, you know, you hear people say that all the time with a charity, but that $12 million, that's insane, really, from $1 donations from each ticket. That just goes to show how big you are. That's great.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. But again, we just want to help out. We want to do what we want to do. And we're so fortunate and blessed to be able to do this. The least we can do is just help. I guess I said Paul wants to change the world, and little by little, he really is making it a better planet.
Isn't that? That's just amazing. So I'm excited to be part of that celebration, too, with you on Wednesday night.
I'm so glad that you're going. I can't wait to meet you. And, you know, I can't wait to talk to you after the show and see what you think. Because, you know, it's like anything else. People will talk about it, but until you actually witness it for yourself and sit there and a part of what the spectacle is, you know, you're really not going to know. And I've never once had anybody come up to you and said, nah, dude, it wasn't on tonight.
You know, wow, really?
Yeah, no, not once.
Isn't that amazing? And the Ghost of Christmas Eve, now it's a new show, but the music, so it's like a best of show, right? And this was,
yeah,
really, it's an old baby. It's been brewing for a while.
Well, we recorded the first two records, I guess, in 96 and 97, I think. And then we filmed this. I'm going to say 98, and basically it was like, all right, take, you know, everybody's favorite songs from the first two records and kind of roll it together into this new story. And this is something that kind of sat on the shelf for a bunch of years. Not that we forgot about it, but it's just we never thought that it would make the transition from, you know, from film to the arena. And once we did it, it was like we kind of smacked ourselves in the head and said, this was a no-brainer. Why did we do this years ago? Because the film has become part of the show. And the show has become part of the film.
Gosh,
so you get to sit back and rewatch this classic film. And then, you know, it's new interpretation and presentation with the production. So it's really awesome. And, you know, everybody in the audience, they have their favorite songs that are in the show now. And it's become, I think, my favorite tour we've done in, God, I don't know, 16, 17 years.
Isn't that something? That's great. So people that know you are going to know it, and people that don't know you, it's going to be new too. But how is it? How has the reception been? Since it is stuff that people are very familiar with, it's got to be great, huh?
Yeah, those people who come back year after year, I consider them my repeat offenders, you know, and they just love it. I mean, they were familiar with the film, you know, the movie a while back, and now to see it come back to life, you know, they're excited too because they have a sense of ownership and pride with this as well. And folks who just don't know anything about us, they just came and they were just kind of knocked out by the sheer magnitude of the performance, the production, the musicality. You know, everybody walks away just happy, you know, and that's something that I'm so proud of because you walk out of an arena after 2.5 hours, you know, you had a great time, you had your 2.5 hours of escapism, you know, and hopefully it'll lead you, you know, the story is based upon, you know, like a little runaway who finds shelter in this old theater, you know, on Christmas Eve and just wants to go home, you know, and doesn't remember why she ran away. The parents don't remember why they were angry at her, but it doesn't matter anymore because once you're missing something, all you do is want it back.
Aww.
You know, and so, you know, and I can relate to that because like I had said earlier, my older kids are all, you know, gone and moved away. I don't get to see them as much as I want. So everybody in the audience can relate to some aspect, some part of this
can
show.
Can relate to it, yeah.
And I think that's the brilliance that is Paul O'Neill because, you know, he doesn't write it where it goes over everybody's head. You know, everybody turns around and says, you know, on the way home, let's call so-and-so, let's text so-and-so. I don't know why we're not talking, but that's enough of this.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty intense. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It really is. And to be part of it and to watch that unfurl is a lot of fun.
Oh, Al, I'm really looking forward to this. I'm psyched about it. And, you know, I do know your work because you've worked with a few of some of my favorite artists. I didn't realize Asia. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
But I know you're a busy guy. I mean, music's your life. What are you doing? What do you do? Anything that you've got to promote that's going on aside from Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
A lot of finger painting and Play-Doh lately.
I bet so. A 4-year-old.
Yes, ma'am. Now this is my band. This is, you know, my full time, you know, art. I don't really want to do anything else when I'm not doing this. I just want to go home and be with family. You know.
Ah, that's great that you can. You've worked hard enough to just enjoy every minute of that.
Yeah. I mean, at 53 years old, it's like both sides of the fence are like in perfect shape. So when I go to work, I'm real happy with everything at work, and I can't wait to get to work. And as soon as I put my guitar down, I just can't wait to get home.
Oh, you know? I can't wait to meet you because you're just everything that you're saying is just so passionate, and I can feel it.
Well, I can't wait to meet you. And by the way, the family good? Thanksgiving was good with you? Everything
yes,
right?
Everything good. And how about you guys?
It was awesome. You know.
Good.
We spend it on the road, but I don't know how to do anything any different. Well, I don't know how to do this any different. So holidays on the road, the family comes out, everybody has a good time. And, you know, like I said, by New Year's Day, we'll go home and we'll catch our breath and we'll figure out what Paul's got in store for us next.
I love it.